Welcome to Sissy Boys Podcast. I am Dan Donahue.
I'm Matt LeGrand.
I'm Cooper Leiden.
And everybody subscribe to the YouTube now.
Subscribe to the YouTube? Did you guys enjoy your voice warm-ups?
We all did our voice warm-ups.
Pa, 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 pa.
I knew you were going to do that immediately.
I know, but it feels good, right?
No.
Don't you feel like worked out?
I do feel worked out.
You know, it's one of the things in my acting class. I don't really know if any of this makes any sense, but like you breathe in and then he's like, let it out with a shake. So it's like, breathe in, then he's like.
Yeah, that sounds like something that a guy would make people pay $500 for a week class to learn.
It's a 7-week class, but it is $500.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird mix of like very good, like the Stanislavski advice, like that's just accepted across the board and it helps. But then he'll also just say shit that I'm like, nah.
No.
Like, nah.
I'm always like, protrude by like acting teachers because they're.
Whoa, whoa.
Is that not a word?
Tell it again.
As it was coming out, I was like.
Perturbed? I think you mean perturbed.
I did, but where I come from, we say protrubed.
Got it.
Singapore?
They do speak Singlish in Singapore.
I know that. Do they say protrude?
No, but I grew up in Indonesia. But
go on, man.
Ooh. Okay. Perturbed? Is that a word?
Perturbed. I liked protrubed.
God, I look more dumb every day.
It was the first thing you said on the podcast, which is what's funny.
Right.
I like how you immediately dropped your mic. He said a word and you were like, no,
I
no,
got
no,
excited.
No, no, no. I'm not going to listen to
I
the rest of this
I find it
sentence.
Conductivist that everyone in the podcast questions my
It's like a
reology.
Really, a conductivist is a really uppity train conductor.
I do find it pertuvious. Pertuvious.
These aren't words.
What are you perturbed about?
Wait, what were you even?
Acting class.
Oh, well, the fact is you're paying money for someone who did not become successful in their field.
Yeah, that's a dumb argument, though, because it's like there's a ton of people who aren't successful at their fields that are good at teaching it.
I think.
Well, that's why they came up with the phrase, if you can't do, teach.
Right.
Case closed.
Which also isn't true. Like, there's
and
people.
And if you can't teach. Teach gym. That was from School
of
Rock.
Yeah, we know.
This
how
is
that,
your.
Yeah.
This is what you're gonna give to the podcast.
I love
about.
How that was your thing, where like you made a joke that like you didn't even like, and then when we were like, you were like, it's from School of Rock. No, don't worry, it's
but
delightful.
No, people, that's like an appeal to authority because some people.
Why
who
am
are,
I listening to you? You're not even a rocket scientist.
Well, some people who are really good at stuff are really bad at teaching it and have no insights as to how they do what they do. And then the flip
English
side
language.
Is true too. Yeah, exactly. And then the flip side is true too, where it's like some people are bad at the thing they're doing, but are super. It's like people who are like, I don't want to. Personal trainer who's in like worse shape than me, and it's like that's not true right away,
right? Yeah. Like football coaches or basketball coaches,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't have to be doing the thing to know how you're supposed to do the thing.
There's also the thing with acting teachers. Like my acting teacher is not a famous actor, but like
he is James Franco.
He works like he works consistently.
He ate Cooper's pussy.
He did eat my pussy. It's weird because it's a Zoom class. So all of a sudden, you know, everybody logs in.
Whoa.
We're on the same screen. I'm like this. You know what I mean?
I never read his apology for that, but was it just like, sorry, I thought I could do that?
I think it pretty much was.
Cooper's acting teacher or James Franco?
James Franco.
He was having sex with girls that he was teaching in his acting class, and then some of them wouldn't get roles if they wouldn't put out.
Jesus.
And he was like, what do you... His whole thing was just kind of like, oh, we all have sex with people. They just happen to be my students.
Right. That's so cool.
Wow.
That's such a cool thing
to... What a cool thing to say.
Such a cool way to go about the world.
Was he the guy that, like, they were filming something and, like, to get a reaction out of an actress,
yeah, he
ran up to her and just started eating her pussy?
He didn't run up. I think in the scene I think in the scene it was meant to be simulated, and then he just... went for it.
Oh, I thought it wasn't even part of the scene. He was like, what I heard, it was a scene that was something
just
else.
Just a wild speculation in the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, I think it's great. And he was trying to be like Hitchcock, where like Hitchcock would just like, he like he like terrorized the lady that was in the birds.
They say that, but what is that? What does it mean to terrorize someone?
I think he would literally just try and like scare her. Just go boo. I don't know if it was just boo. I think it was like she would walk out of her dressing room and she'd be like, bah! And like, and like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I think if you do it, like you show up to set and you're like, somebody
like if she just walks away terrified and he's just like, stupid bitch.
And he's just like, this is filmmaking. Like, but yeah, then
is
James
he from
Franco.
Australia?
No. But then James Franco's just like, it's so weird because, it sounds like Alfred Hitchcock was like, I fucking put a dead fish in your car. And then James Franco was like, what is the modern iteration for that? He's like, oh, I'm going to assault somebody.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right, James.
This will get a reaction.
A lot of directors do that kind of, Lars von Trier, do you know who that is?
I know that name.
He's the lead singer
of 30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars.
No, that's Jared Leto. Lars von Trier is the director of Antichrist, Melancholia.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Melancholia.
Nymphomaniac, oh, Jack Build a House, whatever. He's he's a very, very iconic director from Denmark, Danish, if you will.
You said it like we
wouldn't.
Yeah,
I know facts.
You
go
said
on,
it like
on,
we wouldn't.
We can't derail this.
He's Denmarkish. And what was the point of this? He did a movie called Dogville that starred Nicole Kidman. It's a very, very unusually filmed movie. There's none of the buildings or locations have actual locations. It's filmed on a black box theater, and it's there's chalk on the ground, and it says church. And so, like, she'll walk into the
black, oh, interesting.
And that's how the whole 2.5-hour movie plays out. Mm-hmm. But anyways, she said she'd never work with him again, and there are scenes where she's supposed to be terrified, and apparently he jerked off on set.
Oh. He
would do things that would make her feel very unsafe and disturbed because that's how her character was supposed to be.
Man, you could just, like, bring in a Komodo dragon. That's what I would do.
Well, he did, and it was called his cock.
Doesn't that make more sense? You know what I mean? Because it's like, if you're jerking off, it's like, that's terrible. But then if somebody's like, whoa, a Komodo, like nobody knows how to handle a Komodo dragon.
You let it loose.
And they're way faster than you think
they are. I would do that,
are.
But with an adolescent jungle cat. I would do it with like a medium sized.
No, but
puma.
That would be so,
that's so cute.
It
would be a little cute.
Yeah, but then it's biting you. So that's what's confusing about it is that it's cute with a Komodo dragon. You know immediately like this.
If
I'm
you're
not
like truly disturbed, you don't want to have an element of endearment.
Interesting.
I would. Would you fight a Komodo dragon?
You know, you don't like see someone with like a bone sticking out of their body and
Cooper,
be like, oh, I wish I could pet it.
Cooper just asked a really great question. Cooper,
what did you
ask
say?
It again.
Do you fight a Komodo?
Would
dragon?
Would I fight a Komodo?
Do you think you could win
against a Komodo dragon? Do I have any, is there anything around me like a stick or a rock or anything?
No.
So we're in a black box theater.
You're in a black
There's
box
a bunch
theater.
Of squares that say church
this
around.
This is an improv show you're doing with Will Hines.
Could I be I think I would kill the Komodo dragon, but I also think if it gets one bite on me, you're dead because of the bacterial thing.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think I could easily stalemate, possibly win a fight with a Komodo dragon.
Can I did you guys know Komodo dragons?
You might
are
underestimate
from
them.
Indonesia.
Is that
really?
True?
Yeah, the island of Komodo is part
Did you
of
grow
Indonesia.
Up with them? Like in your home? Tons of them? Like 20 Komodo dragons?
I grew up
dragons?
With one Komodo dragon that is called my cock. And sorry, it didn't work.
Wait, why would you disrespect Komodo dragons like that?
You try it again.
I grew up with two Komodo dragons that is called my cock and my brother's cock.
Which you've seen just like your sister's tits, because that's what you guys do, I guess.
Everyone in Indonesia.
Is that what Christian families
tits.
Do? You're just like. Get naked, look at each other.
And say bad.
God likes it.
Do not look at that.
But when I was a kid, we went to the Gili Islands. Like, there's like these little thousand islands off the coast of Jakarta.
I used to live there.
And I went on a walk around this like very small. I just went on a walk around the island, and I was by myself, and a Komodo dragon like scurried out of the woods.
Oh, scurry!
And I was like 8 years old.
Oh my god!
9 years old, and it was just staring at me in the face, and I just stared, and I really thought I was gonna die.
Oh my god!
It was
how big? How big is this thing?
This
I get big,
like at least 6 feet, which they can get way
really.
Bigger.
They're big.
How much would you say it weighs?
This one like. From what I know of Komodo dragons, this was a smaller one. It probably weighed like, you know, maybe 150, 200.
Shut up. No. 150?
My 9-year-old brain is telling you how much it weighed.
Okay.
I didn't have a scale on.
Well, I'm asking adult men.
Hold
to
up.
Be fair.
How much do you weigh, fat ass?
Sorry, I like fat people.
Google maximum
the
size.
Point
of
is,
this matters to me.
Yeah, Google it. But so I stared at it and I didn't know what to do. And then it just, and I like prayed and then it scurried away back into the woods. And then I ran back to the, like the rest of like the hotel or wherever we were staying. And I was just like, I was so scared. And I told my parents, and then the guy at the front desk, he was like, oh, the Komodo dragons on this island are almost all of them are like herbivores.
Oh, you were right. Komodo dragons do weigh 150.
Really?
Is that like maximum?
Holy shit.
That's crazy. No, it's like minimum. It could get up to 200.
But yeah, he was like,
that's what I'm saying. You're
these
fighting
ones are
a beast.
No.
A similar vibe to like an alligator where it's like they're more scared of you than you're scared of them.
That's
like,
crazy.
Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I couldn't kill a Komodo dragon.
I don't think you could.
Dude, they get
honest.
Huge though.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I couldn't. Thing? 200.
Oh, that's less than me. Max 200?
Max 200.
Who would have thought that that little boy who is scared of a Komodo would grow up to be bigger than them?
Whoa, that's true. You took the hero's journey.
Imagine if I bit them.
Yeah.
Damn.
Thank God you prayed. I mean, God, the power of Christ is just within. And
it really is,
always.
Dude. And that's kind of the point of this one.
Yeah. I like to go, because like we went to that bar, the Eagle, which is that gay bar that has a trough.
What about it?
It has a mirror over it. Well, I'm telling you, when I was in the bathroom, it was just so nice because, you know, I just got to, you know, lock eyes with a man and be like, isn't the power of Christ within and surrounding us at every single moment? And he was like, I believe that too.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you ever feel like part of Christ is lost in this bar? And
yeah.
And he said, yes, but I'm looking to change that. And so we're starting a petition take this gay bar to a more Christian stance.
The other day, you let a Komodo dragon loose at the Eagle.
I did let a Komodo dragon loose. Because it's like the snake thing, you know, where they're like, if God is with you, the snake will not bite you.
Yeah.
And the Komodo dragon just started, like, racking motherfuckers up.
Someone,
like,
the thing that stopped is someone fucked the Komodo dragon.
Someone fucked the Komodo dragon, and he fucked it good.
Gay people will fuck anything.
He fucked it
and
the Komodo.
And Cooper's like, don't, it's a herbivore.
Yeah. I'm like, you don't have to do that. Then there's an 8-year-old boy that's like,
give it some cantaloupe.
I hate when you're at the gay bar and there's just an 8-year-old boy staring at a Komodo dragon. You're like, this is
it
not.
It ruins the vibe.
This is not the vibe.
You're trying to get numbers.
I'm trying to fuck right now. This 8-year-old boy scared of a Komodo dragon.
You never told the story of the
time you killed a Komodo dragon with your bear.
The bouncer at that gay bar that you had the conversation about straight women with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do a bit on that.
Yeah, it was just when we went.
Akbar.
We went to Akbar, which is like the.
The Eagle Light, from what
I understand. It's like a simulator of a gay bar. It's like where white women go to like do ketamine.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, does that make that, would you agree with that, Matt?
Totally.
Decent assumption.
Case in point, they call it a neighborhood friendly bar.
Yeah.
But it is a gay bar.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like,
you know, as opposed to the Eagle where it's like, we're playing hardcore penetrative porn on all the TVs.
Right.
I think that's smart just to like get like, you know, the week of hard out of there.
But it's like there's different tiers of like what you're looking for in a hangout.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because if you're like, I'm gay and I want to like show my family that like being gay is something that like anyone.
You take him to Akbar.
I'd definitely take him to the Eagle.
Oh, your family?
Yeah, I'd be like, being gay is great. Look at that guy getting fisted. He loves it.
This is what it's all about.
Look as he urinates into the sling into his own mouth.
Oh, you think it's about adopting a kid and settling down in West Hollywood? No.
Yeah. No, then I would have just married a woman.
Yeah, I love the vibe. I love the vibe of the Eagle because they just set the tone.
Yeah.
Also, just watching gay porn while you're just kind of sitting at a bar is just kind of like great. But yeah, when I was at Akbar, I don't go to gay bars a lot. I've literally only been to like,
oh, okay. Like two.
No, I want to go more. I feel not fun.
Right.
Because they're better bars than a lot of places. But I hadn't been to a gay bar, and I walked outside, and there were like so many women. There was like mostly women, and I was so confused. And then I walked outside, and I talked to the bouncer, and I was like, I
Cooper was like, sir, I have to have a word with you.
It was, I literally, I
we
was.
We need to get these ladies out of here.
I told him, I was like, I didn't have a complaint. I was just confused, and I was like, he knows, because he's an older gay man. And I was like, you know, I don't know how to start this conversation or if this will make a lot of sense. But I just go, there's like a lot of women in there. And then he just immediately was like, yeah, this has been a problem for a while. Like, he literally said, this has been a problem for a while. And when he said that, I was like, and then, yeah, we just had a conversation about how the bar changed. And he told me, and it wasn't even like the bar is ruined, but, yeah, you know, just how it's changed.
Well, what I'm confused with that is, I don't know a lot of women that would be going to Akbar that would be uncomfortable with seeing a guy get blown on the dance floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think there is a certain thing, like, although it's not heterosexual male aggression, I feel like at a gay bar there is certain a vibe of, like, we're trying to get shit done here.
Right,
you know what I mean? And it's like,
it's still male aggression at a level.
Akbar also is not a, it's not like a sex-induced vibe. Like, yeah, that's not what they're going
for.
People don't go to Akbar to get blown on the dance floor. Like, yeah, that, they go to a warehouse party for that.
Right.
And that rarely even happens at the Eagle.
Are people still getting blown on dance floors? Is that alive? I feel like the after-hours scene is like,
yeah, after-hours parties
real
for
scene.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, in L.A. bars, also something that's very interesting about L.A. gay bars versus New York gay bars, I went to a gay bar in New York, and when I walked in, there was a go-go dancer on the stage with his dick out.
Yeah.
Just openly dick out. Right. And I was shocked. And I was like, whoa, you're not allowed. Because I work at a gay bar.
Right.
In L.A., if you show your dick, they'll shut down the bar. You could be shut down for months.
Yeah.
Because it's like some sanitary code thing or whatever. But it's just an excuse to, like, whatever. Also, you're like, they don't do that in Los Angeles, and I think it is because it's more of like a media-centric town, and like people don't even want to be.
That's so stupid, like sanitation-wise. Maybe if you're like at a restaurant, if you're like, I don't want to see a penis at Buca di Beppo, but it's like, especially with COVID now that you don't have to wear a mask, even though like COVID's still around. It's like your dick's not coughing,
right?
You know what I mean?
They get so mad at him because his dick's out. They're like, for Christ's sake, put on a mask.
Put a mask. Oh, a little mask for the head of your penis.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
So it doesn't cough on you.
Oh, I love that.
But
dude,
yeah, in New York, like, and they're like, oh yeah, that's normal. And like people had sex in the. I was at the Cock. The bar's literally called the Cock. A guy would whip out his dick. And people were having sex on the dance floor, straight up sex. I was like, this is insane.
New York really gets it.
Yeah.
There's no drinking. Like, they know how to do it. A bar can just stay open until they're done being a bar.
I will say this. New York comedians are
bad.
No, they're not bad. No, I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say,
of course.
I think there's the same amount of good comedians. Well, maybe a little bit more in New York than L.A. in terms of like good comics. But
that's changing, though.
Favorite New York comic on three. 1, 2, 3, Dasha Nekrasova.
Yeah, she's not a comedian.
Okay.
Josh Johnson is great.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Listen, just genuinely.
Josh Johnson hosted my SNL. he hosted the New York comedy festival.
He's great.
Thing that I was on. He is great. He's very
so talented.
Funny.
But I think there's a little less self-importance just because if you're in New York, there's less people who are also trying to be actors and writers. So, like,
people are excited to go to shows there.
Yeah, people are excited to go to shows. That's what's cool about. Like, I was just telling Cooper about this. I went to a diner with four other comics, right? And it was late night and it was going to be so fun. Like, I was amped. I was like, we just came from like the comedy club. We're going to go to a diner. It's going to be a blast. One of the four people is like a comic, but also is very much on the industry side.
Yeah.
They did nothing but talk incredibly seriously about like getting managers and who's the writing director on this. And it's like, that's all the conversation was the entire time. And we're just like, we're sitting at Norm's, and I'm just like, what are we doing? We are five comics hanging out, and no one's laughing, and no one's having fun. Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, the showrunner on this show is like such a bitch. But it's like, what are we doing? Who gives a fuck?
I always think it's funny when, people would be like, that producer sucks. I hate them. And like, it's just because they have a bad attitude. And I'm like, well, did you think you would do this industry without meeting people with a bad attitude?
A lot of those people are relieved that now they're on the industry side because they have nothing funny to say.
Yeah.
And they're not that funny. So it gives them something to talk about with comedians that like doesn't put pressure on them to actually like be a funny person.
And this was in New York?
No. This was here.
I was going to say because, that was kind of.
I'm sure it does feel like a relief where it's like, I no longer have to pretend like I'm funny.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Like, I can just put on like pastel colors.
Yeah, that was a rough 4 years, but now we're out of the woods.
That was real tough trying to pretend like I'm exploring myself when really I'm exploiting it.
Pretend like I wanted to be funny.
Yeah.
They don't even really want to be funny.
Well, I would say that it's because, if you're doing stand-up in New York, you're doing stand-up because you want to be good at stand-up. If you're doing stand-up in Los Angeles, there's a 50% chance, maybe more, that you're doing stand-up so that someone will cast you in a movie.
Well, or
somebody else.
You know what I mean? So that people will see you so you can get an agent so you can be in a movie.
You do it to get jacked. You do stand-up so you have time during the day to lift weights and become jacked.
There's a 75% chance you're doing stand-ups to get really strong.
Yeah, to get strong. To be picked up by me. I see you at an open mic. I go, let me train
Remember
you.
Remember when you would try and fight me at almost every single open mic?
I would never try to fight you. I would playfully throw a kick or two.
You would throw a kick, and then you would try and grapple with me.
You know who I went too far
and
with?
It was the only time I've ever had to tell you to stop doing something. Because usually you're the one telling me, like, you should knock that off. And this was the time I was like, somehow, I think Dan's off.
No. I would bring kettlebells to open mics. And that was me and Malik would bring a kettlebell
to
an open mic.
No.
We would bring a kettlebell.
He would actually try to fight you?
No, I wouldn't actually try to fight him. No.
But it would be like very physically aggressive for the lyric patio.
Yeah.
Like, just like a very, what's up, bitch? And like punch
but
you.
Not even like he would approach me. And then like.
I wouldn't actually
no
try to fight
him.
You
didn't have friends until 2 years ago.
No, I didn't have friends until 2 years ago because I had a speech impediment and I wasn't as hot.
You and Killian would like wrestle to the point that I'd be like, this is a bad look.
Yeah, it was funny.
I'm surprised you came out as being a very like. Guy.
Yeah.
Because for a second I was like, Dan could go down the road of he wrestles every time he's here.
That's me, baby. You just got to be genuine to be
You've really found a way to kind of, weasel in just.
I am the weasel.
You really Komodo'd your way in.
I'm like, dude, I'm like 150-pound Komodo dragon. I'll get into small spaces. But, no, I brought a kettlebell. Me and Malik would work out at open mics as kind of a bit, right? So, like.
Where was I? At the Lyric?
Yeah, you weren't really going to a lot of open mics at this time. This was like...
You were doing meth.
Yeah, you were doing literally probably busy doing meth.
Staring at your sister's
Which you would
tits.
Have loved working
but
out
like,
at the open mics.
You would like be on the patio of the Lyric and like work out.
We brought boxing gloves and mitts to the patio of the Lyric. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
We did it. We were working out at the Pack Theater in the lobby and we were swinging kettlebell and Malik had his shirt off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he did.
So... Everybody is so uncomfortable. Me and Malik are just like, one more set. Like, let's get it. And Malik broke a light with the kettlebell. He swung it too high and he broke a light. And then a woman came out and came up to us. And I think to this day, she saw Malik. She was ready to yell at us. But then she saw Malik, who's like a 6'1" statuesque looking guy, like former pro boxer. And I think she was going to come out to yell at us, but she saw him and she was like, if you guys want to work out, you can do it in the back patio, but just not indoors. And we were like, okay. So we went to the back patio and continued to work out.
Wild reaction.
Because
you know when she walked out of the room and saw it, there was that moment of like, this is wrong. I have to tell them to stop. Also, so confusing.
Right. Because
there's a lot of times when you work with like customers or people where you have to go up to people and you feel like you can't even just tell them no. You feel like you have to be like, what you're doing is just objectively unacceptable.
It was so out of bounds of what was appropriate that I think she was like, well, are they supposed to be doing this?
Yeah, it wasn't even regular out of bounds. It wasn't like just getting fucked up and being loud. It was like, wait, they're working
out. If you walked out there and me and Malik were blind drunk, screaming and throwing up, there is a protocol for how to deal with that.
It would make
hey, guys,
sense.
Stop. You have to leave right now. I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
If you guys keep drinking and throwing up, I will
get you apple juice and snacks.
That was the reaction.
Just keep it down more.
I will release a Komodo dragon into the pack.
But yeah, long story short, we
I will watch you make gay porn at the bar.
We stopped. Mm-hmm. We stopped doing the kettlebell. Getting the gym was really, because what was fun was working out with comics. So getting the gym was a nice way to keep that going, but then not infringe on open mics.
And now you work out in the driveway gym.
In the driveway gym, dude.
You wanted to talk about it?
I wanted to talk about how perfect Jamel is and how he's like the funniest person of all time.
Yeah.
There's a guy
driving with him yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because we drove to the show together.
And, oh, yeah.
And at one point in the show, I took a pause and I was like, you know, sometimes you just want to blow your brains out. And I think I might have said shoot yourself in the head. And then we get back in the car and immediately Jamel just goes, sometimes you just want to blow your brains out. And then just explain comedy in terms of boxing to me. And it made a lot of sense.
I was training. So Jamel is a guy who lives at the house. I train people at
Jamel lives there?
Yeah.
Jamel Johnson?
There. No, Jamel Dodson. So I train people at this gym in a driveway at this person's house. And there's a window there where the screen is so dark you can't see who's in it. But Jamel lives right in that window outside the gym. So he'll be listening to me train someone because it's right outside his window. And he loves that because he gets to chime in whenever he wants.
Yeah.
So I'm training this person. They mention I just donated money to like the IDF or something, like some sort of like a pro-Israel thing. This is a person I trained once and didn't train again, but not because of that, but they just ended up not coming back.
No, Vinland.
And no. And let's not do that. But
really like doxing people.
So the person I'm training goes, yeah, I just donated like a bunch of money to the IDF. And I don't really say anything. I'm like, okay. And then from the window, I just hear, Israel.
Yeah, I like,
he didn't say anything negative about it, but just the way that he like it doesn't that's the thing about the, because I'm renting their space.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who I have there. It kind of does weed out people who aren't cool, because he'll say anything to anyone and like happily and be like, so. But it doesn't matter who I bring there. They just have to be okay with him saying anything to
you
them.
Also don't ever know when he is or is not listening, right?
Yes. Yes. You have no idea.
Because you can't see in the house, but he can see you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very fun.
No, there was a person talking
like
about...
Like, you, like, have some serious heart-to-heart, and then in the background, he's just like, yeah, my girl hurt me once, too.
No, I was training this woman, and she goes... She's talking about a... ex who like cheated on her, and now she's sort of casually seeing, and she was saying like, I don't have feelings for him anymore, I'm just seeing him casually now, so it's a way to like for me to bring my power back. And then you just hear from the window, sounds like someone's lying to themselves.
That's so funny.
Damn.
That is so funny.
It's so funny.
It's like the voice of God.
It literally is, dude.
Jamel is at like a perfect place where he's
You would call that house a perfect place?
No, he's like, Dan, you know,
working on his driveway.
He's sort of like he's
what
like
a hell to live in.
He's maturing a lot now. Like he's like maybe like mid-30s, I would say.
No one has any idea.
Yeah, but he's a grown ass man, he's and also he's been doing comedy long enough, and he's a really educated, intelligent guy. So he's at a point where he's not only having the mature thing of like I don't really care.
Right.
Like what people think anymore. But he also will just make wild statements and have it to back it up. Like, I really like Jamel because he will be 100% Jamel the moment he meets somebody. Yeah. Where, like, he'll meet a guy and, like, he'll bring up, like, the guy will say, like, oh, I went to Duke. And then you just see this math in Jamel's head where he goes, Duke, huh? And like then just start pretty much just asking if his family owns slaves, but like a tactful long
form
way.
At his job at the improv, he talks to white people who come up to them like they're slaves.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He talks like they're slave owners?
No, like they are slaves. He'll call them boy. He'll go like, get on that. Like people will be like, where's the main room? He'll be like, it's over there. Get on now, boy. Like
that
he'll it is so funny.
So funny.
But yeah, no, the gym is a beautiful place. I have a beautiful beautiful life there.
You just started doing YouTube videos of
a little vlog. The first one,
don't say little.
Yeah, well, it's a little now. It's going to get better. The first one is just kind of like a dry run, just so people could see. But
it's
yeah.
a baby Komodo, but it's going to reach that 200
pounds. Dude, it'll get, it might get 250. Like
250. It might be the record.
You would be the biggest Komodo dragon ever.
Thank you so much.
It would be funny if you got really into reptiles, but as an adult, like a three-year-old would, but you just have like National Geographic posters of iguanas.
I know people. I mean, like Jake Nordwin is obsessed with like bugs and...
Yeah.
Really? He's like a bug guy?
Oh, you didn't know that?
Does he like collect them? Does he like pin them to boards and keep them?
Yeah, yes, dude. Those people are the happiest people in the world.
Whatever. Like, I mean, it's I love plants, which is annoying because it's now like a stereotype for gay people. Whatever.
Is it really?
But like...
It's probably just within
like,
the
oh,
gay
you're
community.
A plant gay or whatever.
Oh,
it's like an instinct. But like truly when I get up, I'm like, Matt, you have to write for 2 hours and then you can play with your plants.
It's crazy.
That is my
2 hours.
It's crazy how stereotypes will stop you from doing things that you enjoy. Like I'm the same way when it comes to like talking about like exercise and shit, like where it's like I don't want to be a stereotypical bro type.
Yeah.
And that stops me from doing very basic things that I know are good for me.
Yeah, yeah. I guess because it seems like you're jumping on a bandwagon or something.
Which who cares? There's a reason that bandwagons exist.
Yes, it's your own. It's my own insecurity.
Yeah.
I mean, this makes me sound like an asshole, but when I moved to the States, I discovered thrift stores, and I was just like, whoa, this is so crazy. Like, you can just buy the clothes, but it's like so cheap. So I would go to thrift stores all the time, and it was like my thing. Every weekend I would just go, and any city I was in, I would go to thrift stores, and you know, like, and then 3 years later, that fucking Macklemore song came out, Thrift Shop, and then I was like mortified.
It's so funny.
And I was like, oh yeah, my thing is going to thrift stores, and then everyone was like, so is ours or whatever, you know. And I was like, oh, I don't
want to be
one of these.
Is that what set off the thrift shop?
I'm sure it didn't hurt it, but.
He's the greatest rapper of all time.
Macklemore?
He beat Kendrick Lamar for rap album
That's
of the
so
year.
That's so funny. I mean, God, if you don't.
The heist beat Good Kid, Mad City.
You don't think racism exists after
right.
the heist.
What is crazy, though, Macklemore was
unsigned. He's black.
He's unsigned. And he produced the album himself. So he is like
Lewis
one
did.
Of the rich. That is him. Or they're together, whatever. Jumps. But he made so much. It was I think it was top three best-selling albums of the entire year.
Yeah.
And instead of like giving 50% to the label or whatever, he made like
100% of the money.
Like $200 million. Like something Damn. Insane.
He doesn't have to shop at a thrift shop anymore. All that money. What were you saying?
I was saying, stuff like that will really trigger people to move away from stuff that they actually like. Did you feel that way? This is a weird, hard question, but I know somebody jokingly, Lou Hinkle called you out jokingly about coming out as bi for stand-up, and obviously that was, or coming out as pan for stand-up, and obviously that wasn't something that was on your mind, but did you feel at all like, I'm an LA young person in stand-up who's coming out as pan? Like, what does this look like?
Yeah, totally. But then you just realize that it's like super fun and you enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I've gotten to a point where I'm just accepting how much I fall in line with like stereotypes of white dudes my age, where it's like, I love existentialism.
You do.
And I like talking about it.
Yeah.
I like golf.
You're angry.
I like talking about it. I was going to include anger, but anger is not like a hobby. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's a little bit of a hobby.
It's a bit of a, but it shouldn't be.
Sure.
But like with the existentialism thing, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of guys like me and it's fun. I think they're good ideas.
You read poetry.
I would argue that being angry is not indicative of your generation. Like
not generation, but
not like a
young white guys are seen as angry.
Oh, sure, sure. But like Gen Z is very much like so peace oriented and like
I don't think so, to be honest. Really? I think Gen Z is fuck it oriented. I think Gen Z is, if I don't like this, fuck it. Now I think
Gen Z
does not support war.
It's like there's no problem. Like there's no point in getting mad about stuff where it's just like.
I think Gen Z gets really mad about stuff. I think,
yeah.
I think, and I'm not trying
Last
to.
Last time I
like,
hung out with Gen Z, they were really sweet.
No, like, I think I.
You fucks at Gen Z, right?
Yeah, Jennifer Zimmerman.
Yeah, Jennifer Zimmerman.
I think me and the Gen Z folks, I think we have a lucky perspective to just grow up in a, you know, a forever war and everything. Because you just realize, like, oh, everything's an absolute lie.
Right.
And there's no hope of retiring. Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck. By 2045, you see the climate change shit, that there was, like, a 70-degree increase in the Arctic. Like, we're literally, we need to buy guns and water. Like, you know? So, but then again, a lot of Gen Z people do still think, like, you know, they'll be like, this guy at a Popeyes in Louisiana was not inclusive. We should get him fired. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, sure, okay, I guess. But, like, the Koch brothers are still, like, stomping on the faces of anyone that doesn't look like them. You know what I mean? So,
also,
like, let's get mad the right way.
How dare you go to Popeyes if you're in Louisiana?
Yeah. It's a Louisiana company.
But, like, there's a lot better Cajun food.
There is, but maybe you're on the
road. Yeah, but it's saying, why would you go to McDonald's when you're in, you know, somewhere with good hamburgers? Because McDonald's is everywhere, and it's, you know, fast and easy.
Sorry, I really derailed your...
No, you didn't. No, that makes sense. To your point, Cooper, it's also one of those things where I think it's hard to classify an entire generation, because you're only doing it... You're always only doing it based off of their most vocal and usually negative people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't really know how to classify Gen Z, because the things that you're seeing about them are pretty much all, like, extrapolated from news stories that are just like, can you believe these kids are joining Antifa?
Gen Z is a lot less sensitive than people think.
Totally.
I think I'm a pretty good example of Gen Z. I got diagnosed mental illness.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on pills.
On pills.
I like existentialism.
You're skinny.
I'm skinny.
You got big eyebrows.
I got big eyebrows. There's a general...
You'll fuck anything.
And you know, yeah, just pretty not even being able to put effort into things I don't enjoy.
Right.
Like, just physically just like, oh, I can't. Like, I just can't.
Because you're like, this city is going to be uninhabitable in 13 years.
It's the whole thing.
Do something I don't want to do.
Yeah, you're like, our leaders just fucking invade countries to kill civilians. Why do I have to be good
So we're being negative, but here's the counterpoint. What if...
My dick long.
Your dick is... Yeah. That's fine. But what if...
Gen Z.
What if we're being negative about this whole paying for water thing? What if, and I'm just saying, I'm just spitballing here.
Paying for water?
Yeah. So
is that a thing that's
the
happening?
CEO of Nestle said,
does that new?
Water said water shouldn't fall into the category of being a human right. Mm-hmm. He said it also shouldn't be complete. He said it exists in a gray area between human right and non-human right.
Insane.
Which is saying,
why do you
water
think I've been collecting
right.
this every day?
Dude, yeah, you're sticking to Nestle, dude. But it's one of those things where
finish your point.
What if paying for water will make us work harder, get out of bed, do our morning routines, do our morning pages,
dude,
grind.
That is just like
focus.
That is like a cartoon villain.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, that is like the head of Nestle,
so
like the chocolate company that we all love, is like, no one deserves water.
People don't necessarily deserve life.
This is a billionaire.
Deserve life.
It is directly, if you're a person who supports business and the Constitution, you have to hate that guy.
Yeah,
because he's literally saying people don't have the right to life.
We have a pretty, like, a close friend of all of us, and, like, his parents have some money.
Dox him.
So when we were hanging out, I was like, how do your parents have money? Like, what do they do? And he was like, oh, my dad made a lot of money off of water. And I was like, you're not supposed to make a lot of money off of water.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
Like, you're just not. If
nope.
you need, not water. If he was like, my dad made a lot of money off of food, I'd be like, all right, work for a graham cracker company or some shit. But
right.
if it's water.
Also not great.
To make money off of water means you have to withhold it from some people.
You didn't even add any flavor to it.
No.
That's my, if he made a lot of money off Monster Energy, that's great, because you turned water into Monster.
Yeah.
And that is honestly an act of God.
Yeah. This is like, oh, we're going to suck a bunch of water out of this Native American reservation. And then we're going to make Coca-Cola out of it. You
right.
know what I mean? Fucking people got mad at, I think it was Tom Selleck, because when there was a drought, he hoarded like thousands of gallons of water.
Really?
And, you know, looking back,
Tom Selleck,
he's so correct. He's so correct for that move, because people were like, that's so selfish. How dare he take all that water? And it's like, Listen, man, people are literally going to be killing other people for water probably within the next 60 years. Tommy Boy's just ready.
Tommy's ready.
Tommy's ready. And, I mean, God, how lucky would you have to be to die in 20 years? You know what I mean? Like, to, and not like us, because then we die young, but I'm saying, like, just people, like, our
parents.
Who are going to
turn, who are going to turn 90 in 20 years.
Our parents are so lucky. Because they're just like, oh, I just, you know, we, you know, we're Gen X.
We got to take credit. We got to take credit for stopping the Vietnam War, which we didn't do.
Which we did not
do. We completely, essentially subverted the idea of collectivist movements by making it individual and all about ourselves and all about, like, personal development, which completely destroyed the entire idea of, like, mass movements and actually changing things. And now we get to die.
You have the privilege of dying.
It's like you're working at a place for as many years as it takes to get, like, severance or whatever, and you're just doing an awful job. Just the worst job you can do. Yeah. But you're the only employee there, so people let it go. And then right at the time where the business is about to declare bankruptcy, they get another employee and they're like, oh, what's going on here? And then you leave.
Yeah, and then you leave. And then you just get the fuck out of there.
And then you get to look back and say, yeah, that employee doesn't work hard enough.
Yeah.
That employee doesn't appreciate the one-third of the money that I made doing the same exact job, but worse.
Yeah. I might even, because they talk about how it's bad to have kids now because it's like you don't know what the world's going to be. I think it would be fun just to have a kid and just, like, since the age of four, just start training them in, like, heavy artillery.
Yeah.
And just being like, and just telling them quick, like, you're not going to college. There's nothing for you to gain from college.
Hey,
you're
Cooper,
going to grow up in a war zone.
Go to Michigan. The blueprint's already there,
brother. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, that's
people
what's going on.
Already it, on it.
It 100%.
Sucks, it sucks that liberals preach that, like, having kids is bad and it's irresponsible. While that is true, it just makes...
Yeah, it's such a boring thing to say.
Just,
well,
honestly,
it just makes, like, people who are intelligent follow that rule. And so then the only people that are being born are... Yeah. Fucking morons.
It's just so funny that
I don't know if that's
it's just so funny that people
everyone who
I met some cool babies the other day.
It's just funny that some people are, like, still trying to, like, change things.
I think that's,
like,
good.
I think it's good, you know,
really
there's human
annoying.
Will. But it's also like I look at my life and I'm like, I chose to be a comedian, which means I have chosen a selfish life that helps nobody at all. It is
sure.
a completely useless, pointless thing. It's completely self-indulgent.
Sure.
You have to take away this fucking up-in-the-air idea about the good we put in the world.
No.
So it's like I've accepted that. So then when I go on my phone and I see, like, oh, the ice caps are melting at, like, way faster than than they thought they would. And I'm like, what am I... You know, like, I can't believe I, like, want to be a comedian. Like, I'm not going to be able to. And then I just go, like, oh, Cooper, like, you will never have the intelligence or skill to actually help with climate change.
Mm-hmm.
You are just part of the ride that is rushing into the ocean where we are all going to drown. So then at that point, it's so free.
Right.
Because it's like people don't realize it is too late. There's this whole thing where it's like, we need to change before it's too late. It's too late. Mm-hmm. It is too late. The drastic...
Do you really think... But couldn't there be developments in... Like, because right now it's too late.
Think
so.
There's no money in saving the world.
I think
that's
there's going to be, though. I think eventually when things get bad enough where climate change starts messing with infrastructure, it will.
I just feel like those...
Which it might be too late by then totally, and people only think in terms of, like, lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think in terms of, like, multi-generations, or at least in America people don't. So you are right in that instance, totally. But do you think, I mean, there's not no chance that in the future when people start realizing that climate change is dramatically and, like, undeniably, which people could say it already is, but I'm saying for the people that don't believe in climate change now, if down the road there's, like, undeniable negative repercussions to, like, supply and stuff, could those people be like, okay, well, let's turn on a big fan?
I just feel like,
you know,
even when people's houses are, like, starting to flood in, like, Idaho and it makes zero sense, then they're just going to be like, oh, well, that's because we didn't build a strong enough house.
But I'm saying
you
if they're just one guy, one brave person who goes, I'm going to make a big fan,
then
and it's
going to
blow all
this,
all the bad air away from Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Do you know that was literally a plan proposed in that they were going to put humongous fans in the valley to blow pollution away?
Yeah.
What
are
I
you
will
being
say,
serious?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had that idea. Oh. Yeah.
You know what I will say though is I think like the people it like owning these oil and gas companies that know that they're like ruining the world.
RuPaul.
They have.
I don't think they do.
I think they have the math on it. They like the science is there.
So here's the issue with that, which I agree with you, but here's the issue with it is that there is also counter scientists that those people basically hire to fudge the numbers in the same way that they did with cigarette companies. But and you can choose to believe that. I think people are unaware of how flexible people's entire ideologies can be when it comes to stuff that they want to believe.
I think so, but here's what I'll say is I think is like they get those counter scientists. I think that's for the public. They go, we need to show it to them. When I think it comes to the actual people making those decisions, they don't need to justify it with counter science. They just don't care. I think they believe the climate change shit is real and that they know it's going to destroy the world, and they've already made a decision that they do not care. Because one, they're either going to die or they have enough money to have like millionaire bunkers and they can go other places. They have mobility. They have shit to do. They can prepare.
If you're looking
and
at
I don't
life
think
as
they
like
care.
A board game or whatever.
That's how those, there's a famous
like
quote.
It's like, why would you not do that? That's the more fun. Like,
there's like a famous quote of these senators that are like, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in the business of the world. And like the biggest businessman in the world, in my opinion, at least
pounds.
At one time, is Dick Cheney, because he made one of the biggest money moves in the world, which is starting the Iraq War by killing thousands of Americans in a fraudulent terrorist attack.
Do you think in
biggest
his own,
money move in the world?
Do you think in his own private moments he called it a money move?
100%.
Do you think he called Colin Powell on the phone and he's like, "Powelly baby, we're about to make money moves."
Yeah, because he looks at that shit and he's like, "Man, all these fucking CEOs are pussies. Like, I'm going to get the bag." I am going to kill not only my own civilians, I am going to kill babies thousands of miles away from me, all so I can own
secure,
a ranch.
Secure the bag.
Have a ranch. That's it. Do you realize how many people have died just so George Bush and fucking Cheney can have horses?
Maybe Cheney was too racist for this, but do you think, because in my moments
Dick
where
Cheney
I...
Cheney is not racist.
In my moments where I make like $200 doing a weekend of stand-up.
Yeah.
I get so excited. I start listening to rap music, and this is very embarrassing. I start listening to rap music and go, this song's kind of about me in a way.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah, 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 we've talked about
it. The embarrassing part is that it's Drake.
Yeah, the embarrassing part is that, yeah, I'll listen to Drake and I'll be like, damn, people are kind of conspiring to stop me on my path to greatness. Do you think those people who are like, you know, diverting water sources from places that need it to commodify it also will turn on like 50 Cent and go, yeah, this is sort of about me?
I think it's even more evil. I think like I think Dick Cheney starts the war and then he goes home and he listens to like Lollipop Times Are Coming Down and We're Gonna Have a Time, and he just like just sort of sits in a chair and just goes,
this is gonna be good. Dick Cheney is like possibly the first girl boss.
He might be a girl boss, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying this sounds bad, but from my point of view, I'm just like, damn, like that's a fucking hashtag girl boss. Yeah.
He's
right
similar
there.
To RuPaul
that's
in
a,
many ways.
That's a fucking CEO, right? Slay queen, the house down boots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like obviously
start that war in Iraq.
It's a boss move. I should make it clear to the viewers, I think he's one of the most evil men in the world. I also do think he made one of, if not the biggest money moves in the entire world.
Well, you can say that.
What is a war if not a money move?
Yeah.
He was the fucking CEO of ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
And then started a war to get gas.
Right.
Like,
that's so crazy.
The bag lives within him.
It's one of those things where it's like when people see what's happening in Ukraine and they're like, people will be like undeniable support of Ukraine, which I completely understand. And I think Ukraine is way more justified because they're the ones who are getting invaded or whatever. So it's like, obviously you're justified in defending yourself. But it's these two things that exist at the same time that people aren't comfortable existing at the same time, where while these people like do probably need to get more armed and stuff, the people who are benefiting the most from it and don't have any of the negative repercussions of actually having to fire a weapon or be in harm's way are weapons companies who right. are evil and are benefiting from this thing. But when you bring up that point, people will go like, you don't support, like, and it's like, no, you can do both. You can say this country is in the right, but also the people who are benefiting the most unilaterally with no negatives from this situation are the worst people in the world, which are like weapons manufacturers.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
just the same, like a weird example, but like if you bought a t-shirt that said like BLM on it, it's like, and you're like being a part of that movement, like probably that t-shirt company is like made in China by child slaves or something.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like
Bruce Gray has a great point about that, where he's like,
so does Matt LeGrand,
the guy, finish your point.
No.
He was finished. He was just mad.
I like that. I mean,
Mad LeGrand, if you will.
Ooh. Anyway, Bruce Gray, he's a very funny comedian. He has just a funny joke about, like, the guy that makes the Black Lives Matter shirt also makes the Blue Lives Matter shirt.
Yeah,
and he's
that's just business. Yeah.
He's like, that's how it is. Oh, you're diversifying. Absolutely. That's why I think it's so funny when any business is like, Wells Fargo is gay now. You know,
I have an idea. I have an idea for that. Last night I smoked weed and I came up with an idea. If there is a business that has a sign out, like a coffee shop, coffee shops are the most guilty of this.
I love when a coffee shop takes a stand.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah,
dude.
Like you're not just trying to sell beans in a cup.
Yeah.
But like if a coffee shop has something like outside, this is a safe place for blank. Whatever group it is, whatever they say, if you are a member of a group that they are using for advertisement, literally using for advertisement, you should be able to go in there and ask for free stuff. And if they don't give it to you, you should make them really uncomfortable. You should go, I'm the guy on the sign.
Yeah.
Listen to me. See that sign? I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Give me a free cup of coffee.
You go, don't 40 acres and a mule me.
And
give
if
me
they
coffee.
And if they don't give you the coffee, you make a stink in there. You start recording. You take a video of the sign outside. You take a video of the person. Because literally all they're saying by just having the sign and not doing anything on top of it is, if you're gay, you can spend $15 on a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's all they're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, we are so magnanimous here.
We'll let
your gay ass come in here and spend $48 on a shot of espresso.
They just have regular coffee, but then like when they started supporting gay people, they're like, and we also offer coffee enemas.
Yeah. Non-binary people need
that
to start,
would be something though.
Put it in your mouth or in your asshole.
That's something that I could get behind because I'm like, you're changing. You're doing
get
something.
Get behind.
Bank of America didn't do anything. They were just like, if you're gay, we'll use your money to buy weapons overseas too.
It's so funny. Young non-binary people need to start going into these coffee shops and shitting their pants if they don't get free coffee. Just go, can I get free coffee? And then if they don't, just go. That'd be such a sick thing to do, just to be like, I'm cool. I don't mind shitting my pants.
Dude, I will do it.
I
worked at a meditation center, and one of the things that they said at the meditation center was, we want to make it very clear that whatever religion or creed you are a part of, you're accepted here. And I was like, yeah, no one thinks otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's like when a fucking,
like great, I'm a member of the Klan.
Yeah.
and I'm glad I can wear what I feel comfortable wearing. They really didn't specify.
No, what I did was I used that as a reason to be like, well, I don't believe any of this, so I'm just going to tell people.
Just take off your hoodie. It just says Bill Cosby innocent.
I mean, if that is your precedent, I should be allowed working at the front desk for people to come in and say, what's the Reiki class like? And for me to go, I don't believe in it. I don't think it's real. I think it's a lady. A lady's going to put her index finger on your head and whisper in your ear.
Yeah.
And then you're done.
It's like when a fast food company is like, our burgers are now 100% beef. And you're like, what were you doing?
Exactly.
It makes it sound like before they put up the sign that if a black dude wanted to meditate, they'd be like, get out.
As know, though like, someone would come in and be like, "Yeah, I just moved here from where are we doing that show? The really kind of like hippy dippy
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, I moved here from San Luis Obispo, and I was just trying to like find a more chill. Anyway, there's no Muslims here, right?
Yeah,
that's never gonna happen at a meditation center. Now, if that was at an auto body shop, okay. Because people need
that
to.
Would, I would like if, that would be if, a stance.
If there was, if you have like a, we are LGBTQ friendly at an auto body shop in North Hollywood, I would go, that sign needs to be there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, once you make the statement, it's like, this is probably already taken for granted.
Yeah. I want the sign to look like there had to be a meeting between the management of the place.
Somebody before they put here. It up. Didn't like that sign going
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But
yeah.
he didn't not like it a lot. You know, yeah, it's just yeah, like yeah. Al at the fucking tire shop where he's like, they think they can't come here? I don't get it. And then the guy's like, well, no, I mean, it's not. It's just we just want to make it more welcoming. He's like,
well, can we make a sign that says we accept white folks coming in here?
Yeah. He's like, I gave a cigarette to a Mexican kid just yesterday. Yeah. And they're like, Al, that's great. But like the sign... makes it more clear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Paraplegic lesbians are welcome in this gas station.
We should actually like set up on camera that one sign that like white people who own weapons manufacturing stock put up in their fucking
if you really
like, no human is illegal, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then everyone who's part of those groups walks by and they're like, you guys figured this out a fucking year ago?
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like this shit has been like
if you really want to screw a business over, you know what would be really funny? Is like take a business that's not in like West or maybe a business that is in West Hollywood, make a sign that says we accept and then put something that's like essentially obscure on it, like we accept like furries with polio.
Yeah.
And then put it outside their sign and then set up a stationary camera outside of their business. And wait for them to take it down.
Yeah.
And then you publish that all over the internet.
Right, right. And you're
that's
like...
really funny. That's really
you
good.
Like that idea?
Yeah, and I think like, that's a whole, like, Nathan for you.
Right.
That's great.
You just, but you make it clear there is a camera on the sign.
Yeah.
There is a person recording that
oh,
sign.
Oh, that's clear?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why?
You make it obvious. So the person who's taking it down has to go in front of the camera,
yeah.
and you get to ask them questions.
Oh, okay.
And then you do an interview with, like, a 80-year-old guy that's one of the last people in an iron lung and he was like I finally felt like there was a place that I could get coffee at and now I don't know where I'm gonna go.
This coffee shop accepts Ralph, the last man in an
yeah.
iron lung.
Dude, if I was in an iron lung, I would pay someone to just like take me around,
wheel
like,
you around.
Because imagine
I don't know if that's
a,
possible
if you're
in
a Starbucks and then a guy just like pushes the door through with an iron lung and I would be in it, like I'd be on the side and I'd just be like, hey everybody, like I would make people look at me. I'd
is
be
there,
like, how you guys doing?
Can I just ask, is there a cooler name for a medical device
no.
than iron lung?
Can I just ask
bone
what,
saw
what is an iron
it's a
lung?
Giant apparatus where the examples, which may just be movie examples, I don't know, but the example of an iron lung is it covers your entire body except your head. And it essentially assists you in breathing.
It almost looks like a heater. Like,
yeah.
it's very big.
I don't know that I've ever seen someone with it.
It just kind of helps, like it just, it pretty much makes you breathe. But, like, that was an effect of polio where people, you just have to be in the iron lung your whole life. You just lay down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, look how happy this guy is. The first picture for iron lung.
That is so sad. I wouldn't want
to. Yeah, because those are people from a generation where they're like, sometimes something terrible happens to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even life-changing. They're literally just like, sometimes, you know, something just horrifically tragic happens. But nonetheless, I'm watching Donnie and Marie reruns. You know what I mean? Like, you just live your life.
Okay, we should.
Let's do gay straight
yeah.
pan.
Yeah. Cooper, what's something pan that you did because you're pansexual?
Well, I had a good mix of gay and straight last night because I started off my set by telling people that I assaulted someone a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then I ended
Very
the set.
Gay.
Yeah, and then I ended the set by talking about how I was on Grindr.
Make it a clear assault as in you physically assaulted another man by punching him.
I punched him in the
Which
face.
Which is gay.
It was.
How are you going to put your hands on another man?
On his
yeah,
face?
It was gay. And then I, you know, we did. Fuck after. So he was 65. But then at the end of the set, I talked about, you know, being on Grindr and a trans woman telling me that having sex with men is disgusting.
Right. But you took the crowd through what we would call a roller coaster ride.
I really like my comedy because I like to go up in front of very like ally oriented crowds and then talk about fucking dudes and
challenge
just kinda make
them.
The point of like, this is the future, man.
Right.
You got uncharismatic dudes like me that are sucking dick. Not everybody's cute in this game. You know what I mean? I wanna be a voice in the community for you know, just generally uninteresting deep voice fellas. Just to be like, you can do this, okay?
Right. Problematic twinks, we would say.
Yeah. You don't have to be Jonathan Van Ness.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can, like, be on mood stabilizers and want to fucking, you know, kill yourself.
Yes, you can. And still get on Grindr.
And still get on Grindr.
Matt?
Why do I have to go?
Something gay?
Why do you have to go?
I was at a warehouse party until 7 a.m.
Okay.
Aspenhof.
You got to invite me. I
should have if you wanted to come. Yeah,
next time you go, invite me.
It was super fun. I met up with some friends there. My boyfriend was there. I worked until 3 a.m. and then I went to that warehouse party. And Lil Nas X was there.
Whoa.
And yeah, it was really, really fun. It was probably, I literally, when I woke up today after sleeping 2 hours, I was like, last night was one of the most fun nights I've had in years.
Did you see Lil Nas X?
I don't know if I did. There weren't that many people there, but no, I was on ketamine. But my friend works the party, and he was like, holy shit, Lil Nas X is here.
I'd fuck that guy.
My friend?
No, Lil Nas X.
Oh, yeah, he's very hot.
Okay, something.
But it was just like a super, super fun warehouse party, and I've never, like, last night I was, like, thankful that I wasn't sober. Like, I was like,
that's
I was
great.
At the perfect level of high where it was just like, and I was with such good people.
I was really thankful.
I was so thankful.
Dude, one time
I was at the warehouse party thing. Thank you, God.
One time at work, I went to the.
I'm sorry. Is this your time to talk?
Yeah, it's because it's funny. I went to the back bar to get a shot, and I went up to the bartender and I was like, hey, can I get a shot of Makers? And then he goes, you know, honestly, I would ask the other bartender. I just did ketamine for the first time. And he just didn't really know what ketamine does, you know? And I was like, oh, man, that's kind of interesting.
No, it is. I just thought it would be funny to play the noise.
Ketamine rocks.
You want me to hurt myself? Is this what you want?
Cooper's hitting himself in the head. Do you know what's a great act out that I do love? Like a, it's not a hack act out, but it's an act out that a lot of comedians do is the, for like a penis.
Oh, I really like
that. I love that. That doesn't get old for me.
Hold it low.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that.
I got to get to class.
Every time I see that, I'm like, I like that you work that in there.
I can't do it on stage because it gets me horny.
Right.
You know, I'm like, and then I'm like, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, something
straight.
Did you
want to finish today?
Oh, yeah, did you?
I don't want to do that to you.
I didn't say anything interesting.
No, come on. Stop.
Should I do straight?
Well, I wanted to talk more about the warehouse thing, but no one gives a shit,
talk
obviously.
More about
stop petting
that. Can I touch your lip?
No.
Isn't that uncomfortable?
I don't want you to do it.
I think you should talk more about it. I think you should be open with us.
Have you not been to this party?
No, I've only
You've
been to that
some after hours we went to in the past. I haven't been to one in years.
I've only been to that one.
And I don't do coke anymore. I don't really it's just not really like my you know what I mean? I'm
and
not like
thankful.
Someone who's like and I'm a thankful guy. I just do dissociatives now.
I'm so thankful to be you're such a good guy cuz you're on ketamine. You're like, "Oh, I'm so thankful to be on ketamine."
Yeah.
Every life is a gift.
It is.
And people act like you're not allowed to be grateful.
Dude, this,
slaughtered.
I don't know. It was so fun. There's also like a dark room there where people just have sex. It's like a isolated area.
See, this is what this is the last bastion of freedom.
And I don't think that's dark at all. I actually think that's pretty nice. It's,
yeah, they should call it a light room.
Yeah.
And then there is also like a woman with a burrito stand like on the other side of the place. So like it's just whatever you're looking for, you know. It was a great time. It felt I had these very, very gay moments where I was just like, wow, like I need to pan out and remember that 9-year-old Matt, who is so scared that he was the only person with these feelings, is going to one day live in a beautiful world where he can be with friends and be in love.
And then you're sucked
off next to the burrito lady. And it does feel cool when you pan out, when you're like, holy shit. Also, like, getting off work at 3:30 a.m. and lime scootering 2 miles to this warehouse party and like, the empty streets of LA. I was like, life is pretty
fun.
Great.
Yeah.
You're like, the one of the coolest people I know for that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just doing it.
God. You don't know a lot of people.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I know a decent amount of people.
Yeah. It was fun. I'll definitely invite you next time. And God, I don't know what ratio I was on. I guess all I did was K. I drank 2 drinks at work, and then I just did a few bumps of K there, and it was fucking heaven.
You don't need a lot of it. Dollop will do you.
And Coke is from the devil, and don't do it. What did something straight that you did, Dan, besides give your girlfriend COVID?
I didn't give my girlfriend COVID. She might have gotten it somewhere else.
Are you serious?
Yeah. From her other boy. But I, couple days ago, I got followed by Sharon Stone, who also liked one of my posts. And the straight thing is, every straight guy that I knew essentially felt the compulsion to message me and go, dude, she's so freaking hot in Basic Instinct.
I didn't, but I did message you and just go, dude,
no,
Sharon Stone.
Yeah, you didn't, you were like, that's cool because she's a very talented, famous, like top 100 famous women in the world.
One of the coolest names.
One of
ever,
the coolest
too.
Names ever.
So strong.
But every straight guy Sharon I knew Stone. Had to message me and go, dude, Sharon Stone, dude, I would fuck her if she let me.
Yeah.
I want to pat myself on the back because even one, Basic Instinct, what an iconic movie. And
iconic.
That scene is great. Her crossing her legs, her cooch out.
Oh, yeah.
Cooch.
They should have called it Beaver Instinct. Am I right?
Oh, they should have called it Beaver Instinct.
Dinner is ready.
I when you told me the first movie I thought of was Casino because she's so fucking good in
so
that movie.
Good in
you know
that
what
movie.
I mean? Like,
oh
Basic Instinct is high camp, like high camp.
It's hot.
It is.
Cool.
But Casino, I'm like, that's a movie where you're like, damn, that is like a talent. Like, that woman has it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Amazing. I've heard on set that when she's around, like when she's with her friends, she's like hyper intelligent, really like smart, fun person. And then when she's with directors, that she acts like a complete bimbo.
Whoa. Interesting.
And it's this thing where it's like, oh, okay, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing. So she plays like a dumb idiot. So they'll like kind of, I don't know what the benefit would be of that.
Well, maybe, I mean, she's from an older time in Hollywood too, where I think like,
it's like making people think like, oh, let's use her because we could take advantage of her if we wanted to. And
yeah,
then she's
maybe.
Like, actually,
but
I know
she
exactly
knows,
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm the one taking advantage
she's
of
her. She's smarter
you.
Than you. Yeah, that is cool. Okay.
Sharon Stone's
like
a boss.
You just let these egos just
come in. Girl boss.
Okay.
I would let her just, you know, really take a strap-on dildo and just ram the
absolutely
fuck out of my
ram
ass.
See, that's the pan response.
And that's not the first thing I think about.
Hey,
but
Cooper, me too.
Me too.
As long as my girlfriend was okay with it and in the room, she could do
that.
Your
girlfriend would be okay with it.
I think she would understand.
I would hold Tony's hand while she
would just. She would just have to be. Yeah, I would talk to her beforehand, and she would have to be in the room and maybe get a piece. But
she's gonna
get
a piece
of the peg.
She's
gonna
get a piece.
Yeah. Well, Sharon
maybe
Stone's
get, yeah, maybe get a piece of the peg.
Well, Sharon Stone
and
you.
Your girlfriend are both getting pegged by Sharon Stone, and I'm holding Tony's hand.
You're holding your hand.
No, Tony.
Is there an artist out there who can draw this for me?
No, dude, because they'll do it.
Good.
Okay.
That's
Sharon
such
Stone's,
a good picture.
Okay.
Sharon Stone's pegging you, and
guys,
Tony's back there eating her ass.
Guys, we gotta do shout-outs. We gotta do shout-outs to the subscribers and let people know we need 1,000 subscribers on the YouTube. We're gonna start pushing so hard and annoying you so much until we get 1,000 subscribers.
We're gonna
and
push
also,
so hard.
If you do subscribe, we're gonna give you a shout-out just like this. Rob Talbot subscribed.
You can take a strap on. You can ram it in me.
Stephanie P 150.
Stephanie, you probably couldn't take on a Komodo dragon.
Oh, I want to do one.
Amy Kate.
Amy, if I owned a water company, you could have some for free.
This American Fox.
I'll frack the shit out of you.
Sosha Dennis. Soshana Dennis.
You and I are going to sushi once you Soshana Dennis me.
Kennedy Ali.
I hope you break up with your significant other, Kennedy.
Zoe Gano.
Zoe Gano, have kids.
Chuck 1-2.
Give a kid a gun.
Patty Barrett.
Give yourself a gun.
Justin Welch.
Keep it real.
John and Jay Salem.
Just fuck you.
John and Jay in Salem.
Just fuck you to the bowl.
Also, the other night I was at the bar. I was working. I work Friday and Saturday night. And,
I work Friday, Saturday night.
A guy came up to me and he was like, hey, I just listened to the most recent Sissy Boys episode. His name's Andrew. Him and his boyfriend, very handsome, sweet Sissy Boys.
Send us pictures of you and your boyfriend.
And then like, also fun anecdote. There was a guy who came up to me at the bar and he was flirting with me and he was very attractive. And I was like, whoa, this guy's hot. Maybe my boyfriend and I will have sex with him.
Wow.
And he came up to me and he was like, yeah, just so you know, you're really sexy. And I was like,
ooh,
nice.
Ooh.
And then I go to make a drink. And when I turn around, he's making out with that guy and his boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
And then at the end of the night, I told my coworker that story, and my coworker goes, wait, was he the guy wearing the, like, zebra print, like, button-up or whatever? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, he totally flirted with me.
Aww.
And it's one of those things where he kept ordering soda water, and so I don't know if he's sober or if he was on GHB.
Yeah, probably both.
Do you know what I mean?
He's probably a sober guy who takes GHB from time to time.
Have you done GHB?
Yeah.
That's the one you drink. It's like a cap, right? Like you'll take like the like a cap from a water bottle, and that's like the dose.
Yeah, I've been like doing a bit about it, but it's like the catch is like if you, it's like great. It's like you feel like you're drunk without any calories, but if you do too much, you die.
Yeah, Tom Segura. Tom Segura like overdosed on it, and he only lived because he was way overweight.
So funny.
So if you're fat, you can't die.
If you drink alcohol, you die too.
Yeah, that's what he did.
All right, thank you for listening to Sissy Boys. I'm Dan Donahue. That's Cooper Lydon. That's Matt LeGrand.
I'm Jessica Simpson.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. Frack.